You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah. Race
Wars. I know you're like, how could a white man be allowed to be?
He can say the word only in the confines of this podcast. It's what we do, baby! Yeah!
You're out of your fucking mind, dude.
I have the power!
With Kurt Metzger and Metzger.
So wait, are we on now?
Race Wars.
Every episode we've ever done begins with me asking if we're on.
Yes.
No, that can't be a good...
That's also how sex starts with you.
That's not... No. I say, are we in, not on?
No, you like to be on first.
You animal.
On something.
So well, what's going on? We got to talk about Baltimore, first of all, but...
What's going on first we got to talk about...
That
website wanted me fired off Amy Schumer. Well...
What website?
I won't
Jezebel.
Say. I had no.
Sorry.
No, it wasn't Jezebel.
No, it wasn't.
No, but I don't. Dan wants me to not. You know, I posted shit about it because it made me laugh so much. But right. He wants me to take it down.
Who? Dan? Who?
Dan, the producer.
Okay, he wanted you to take it down off your Facebook.
What? My gloating.
Oh,
because that same website that had that smear thing about me, like right. Try to get me fired.
They praised the boy band song.
Oh my god!
Oh, they love
every
it.
Single thing. Every single site I hate is like. Slobbering all over my feminist writing.
Because that's what you wanted in the first place. You just wanted to be accepted by them.
No, I like this where they fucking...
They think you're somebody else?
Just the people who hate me are my biggest fans. Like it meant a lot to them, that song. And I think they're missing the point of the song.
What's the point?
Women do need makeup.
Yes, of course they
do. It wasn't to empower you to not wear makeup.
A little mascara wouldn't kill you. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You ain't got to dump
your
whole
face in it. By the way, and here's the other funny part. All the fucking, like, meanest lines. Like, most of the song that's written that's, like, the nice part is what I wrote.
Right.
The meanest shit that the girls wrote.
That's how girls are.
But it's hysterical. Like, they had even, like, meaner shit than I had. I put it in.
Who else wrote on a song?
Well, everybody writes
like
on everything.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Like, so, I mean, everybody had, like, a line or two, and, like, good ones are, like, getting quoted. And then Kyle Dunnigan, like, arranged the music.
Oh, yeah,
and fucking...
Kyle's born to do that, by the way.
No, and
he's
this guy, shit, what's his name? Something Roach. It's Kyle's buddy. He sang the song and then, you know, recorded the song. And
right.
It was fucking, he did it great, man. It really sounds like a fucking boy band song.
I gotta listen to the song. I didn't even listen to it yet.
Yeah, it's called Girl, You Don't Need Makeup.
I just took your word for it and I shared it. See what I do for you, you fucking animal?
All right, well then...
I can't even get you to like a Race Wars fucking quote.
Yeah. I don't like the...
You're the worst.
I'm not good at this business. Well, so there's that, and then also Baltimore. Those, I guess, are the
Baltimore's
two things.
Baltimore's blowing up. You know, I went to college in Baltimore. I went to Morgan State, so.
Yeah.
I actually watched CNN and saw some of the old Q dogs that I knew.
Well,
like,
I did.
Get out the street with a bat.
Our old
you dumb Q dog.
Dude, your old buddy Gavin McGinnis, because I just did Red Eye with him.
Oh, yeah.
So Gavin, fucking Gavin's thing is like, yeah, did you see that? Gavin's very property-oriented. I don't know if you know that. Like, what outrages him the most is anything against, like, he's like Scrooge McDuck.
Right, my dime!
So he's wearing, like, a Doctor Who jacket, and he's going, he's yelling, like, yeah, did you see the riots? Them destroying property. That's... But he, this is like the whole conservative thing.
Who else was on this panel? This white panel talking about fucking Baltimore.
We didn't really get into
you,
Baltimore.
Gavin, of course you didn't. You, Gavin, who else was on there? Joanna? Andy?
Joanna? No, not Andy. This other guy, I don't know if he liked me. And then
he didn't. This is
Ron something.
If you got to assume,
Long.
He definitely did not like
he was
Ron.
But
Ron,
he was funny.
Ron
he said some funny
know.
Lines.
No, Ron Long was on our show with the Israelites.
No, but it's a white one.
A white one, Ron Long? Ooh,
white
don't let the
Ron,
black Ron
white
Long
White Ron Long. And then...
oh, I know Ron.
But whatever.
Ron is great.
But their whole thing, it's fucking incredible.
He was the showrunner for Steve Burns' show. That Wrong?
No, he's some right-wing guy.
Short, fat dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the showrunner.
I didn't think he was that fat.
For Steve Burns' show.
He was
show.
Just stout. Like,
yeah, he wasn't, like, fat.
Not fat, no stout.
Hey,
like
I don't
want to
call a guy fat.
He's like a fire hydrant.
Wait, so, yeah. But this is their fucking attitude about the whole thing. He's like, hey, where's this coming from? It's fucking like, really? This is what they do? like
awful.
It, yeah, and you're like, well... I mean, by the way, like whoever does some bad shit in the thing, don't let them off. You know, like I'm not like, oh,
right.
Let them go. But you can't be like, you don't see that coming. This is Gavin's argument. You're like, yeah, because the liberal media is stirring them up. Otherwise, they would have contentedly taken their, you know, beatings and shootings. They were happy-go-lucky. It's like Duck Dynasty talk. They were singing and fucking. Just they were rap singing and having a great time. Yes. And like
shucking and jiving.
Then you come in with your liberal things. Like,
before CNN stirred them up. MSNBC stirred them.
And then next, it's Obama's fault because he didn't fucking Cosby them into submission.
Well, only in Obama's America can this happen.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, we've never had race riots before. This is new.
This is brand new. I mean, let's introduce Vaughn. Vaughn's
all right,
here.
So anyway, so our guest is...
so angry. Two angry men just scrapping about some shit.
I know, it's nervous in here.
Oh, the energy's real, Vaughn. The energy's real.
Oh, yeah. Well, Karen got me this G-Pen for my birthday, too. So that's part of it.
Yay. Well, happy birthday.
It's not even my birthday yet.
It's almost your birthday.
And G-Pen should be a sponsor right now. Then we send that email out to those sons of bitches.
Hi, G-Pen.
I gotta choke some necks. But anyway, Vaughn, you're here to raise money. You're raising money for the Patrice movie. Patrice O'Neal movie.
Patrice O'Neal documentary, Better Than You. Campaign is still going. We're in our final few days. By the time you hear this, I think it will be in our last day.
It's up tomorrow morning. Yeah.
Tomorrow morning. Yeah.
So Thursday.
And it's going live now on Daily Motion. So.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So we're raising $125,000 to get the movie started. That's the production budget. It doesn't include the post-production budget. And one of the things that people don't realize that if we don't meet our goal of $125,000, then we will have to pay a higher percentage to Indiegogo. So we want to have Patrice's fans, the people that say they love Patrice to see this done, to actually contribute and like spread the word.
What are you up
Facebook
to now? What are you guys
around
up to?
Around 80,000.
Okay, so so it'll be one day left when people are hearing this. So let's, John, make the title of this, like, you know, support, you know, the Patrice documentary, and then where to go to do that. And so we'll just make that the title.
Awesome. Thank you.
Kind of, because I don't know how many listen. We get a decent amount, but
we got a bunch.
And you know what's interesting to me about it is if you look at the campaign page, you will see the amount of money that was raised by kind of a small amount of people. It's what, like about 800 people.
Wow.
And I'm pretty sure Patrice had more than 800 fans. And I think people may have the misconception that if they don't have a large amount to contribute, then it's a dollar's not going to matter, $5.
Everything matters.
Everything, especially when we're looking at investors later and we're trying to show a head count of his fans and public interest. And it's a small amount of people, even though it's a large dollar amount, that's going to say something too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, even just donating a dollar, I think, shows people that there's an audience for this, in addition to like the dollar helping with the production
cost,
it also demonstrates to potential investors.
Like, donate like $10 though. But
I'll change the language and say contribute, because there's perks. We're not asking anyone to give anything, you know, for free. If you, there are amazing perks, if you go to the campaign page, there's Better Than You T-shirts. There's my ebook is on there, Speak Fluent Man, which is my book about Patrice and his philosophies and our relationship, which will be out in June. But if you purchase it through the campaign, you will have a first read. There's the higher level perks where we just put out you can be in the film as a Patrice fan and tell your Patrice stories.
Oh, okay.
So there's VIP tickets to the premiere.
Oh, that's real
cool. There's
that's
so cool. many things that you can get out. The Stand, it offered perks to us where you can get a lifetime pass to The Stand.
Oh, that's amazing.
Shout out to The Stand. And they have more than one perk on there.
Yeah, they're a good club, man.
Right, so there's amazing. Tons of things people can get, not
well,
just
I
the film
just
itself.
See, I would just like to see a Patrice. I mean, that's enough perk to me and to give you some money. All right, so it's one day left. So we'll have the title will say something on there, but there really should be. I can't believe this is the only thing like based on Patrice being made.
Yeah,
like I can't even believe that. And so you know. If you listen to this show, you probably already know that, I'm guessing. So,
people don't know this, but I contribute the most. I put a contribution of Kevin Hart's phone number. So, I think I gave from
the heart.
Well,
can you call Kevin Hart and tell him to post it on his Twitter or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
We need Kevin, too.
I'm going to text
last
Kevin.
Last time I saw Kevin.
Kevin's real stingy with his Twitter, though. But
no,
I'll
Kevin
talk
is
to
an amazing.
I'll text him right now.
Kevin is an amazing person. Let me just say that
best.
For one.
Oh, he's
and
the best.
He has absolutely helped our family, you know, along the way after
Kevin's
Patrice died and everything. And he last time I saw him, I told him, you know, we were going to be doing the documentary, and he said just let him know. He's right. definitely want to be in it and talk yeah. about Patrice and everything. Absolutely. So he's an incredibly busy man. I don't even know if he's aware that this is going on.
I'm texting him right now.
Don't ever refer to Kevin as a man on a show. We call him Lil' Kev, a boy, yeah. a boy.
Well, you do that. I'm going to do what I do. I think he's a very incredible man.
Kev's the best, yeah. man. So, yeah, that's my contribution.
And he's
so.
Amazing Patrice stories, too. Like, when we do the ones. Film, it's going to be great.
What is
and
the,
you too,
I got some nice ones, it, baby.
Kate, what are you guys getting nice money on? What's the
and
site?
You're in my book, big head.
Am I?
Well, the story is Vaughn. In the book, I'll say.
Okay.
The story of
what is it? Who's What's nice. The fundraising site that you're doing it on?
It's Indiegogo.
Indiegogo, okay.
If you put in Better Than You or Patrice in the search bar, yeah. you will go right to the campaign page.
Nice.
Right? To tweet it?
Yeah, I'm asking him to tweet it.
Oh, okay. Here, I can give that to you.
Yeah, put it out there.
Why? Yeah, add him.
I mean, this is important stuff. I mean, Patrice means a lot to, you know, a lot of comics, a lot of us, and to the business. I just like that he had a lot of people scared. It was nice. I missed that. But I'm keeping it going. I'm going to keep that part of it going.
I'm trying to see if there's a way I could just copy...
This is important for young comics, too, though, because there's, like, all these comics that are not getting to see him like that.
You got to know your history.
Right. You got to know what, I mean, it's not even really his, I mean.
It's current history.
He just passed, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, you got to
keep that alive.
To get this documentary out now with people, that with people's memories still fresh.
And it's just the best way to honor someone who created so much stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And let me just say this, and I don't want to call any attention to any specific person, but there are young comics, and I'll use plural, but there's a specific one, but I'll just pretend
that
it's
using Patrice's
that
jokes.
Is being, he has millions and millions and millions and millions of hits on YouTube. He's a famous YouTube person.
Right.
And he has lots of very young generational people who never heard of Patrice because they're so young,
right.
calling him a genius.
Wait,
and
that
he
one
says
that Dante
Patrice
got into it with?
Yeah.
Verbatim. He uses Patrice's
Wait,
material
why would
verbatim.
We say his name?
Shameful.
Yeah, well, because I don't want to shout, because people will go and search him and click,
yeah,
and he'll
what?
Get more hits on YouTube.
You're 100% right.
Yeah.
The so kid's an asshole.
Yeah.
No, I know who it is. Fucking that. Dante's talked about it.
I know
it
when Dante went after him, but I don't know who the dude is.
I mean, he
well,
just
I don't
took,
know personally.
He just
but
took the shit. He straight up just
he
took.
Just, he said he's yeah.
verbatim.
You know what's terrible? Is like, first of all, Patrice was so good at getting his philosophy across this to you. So this fucking dipshit, like 20-something,
yeah,
is
you can't play phone
clumsily like saying Patrice's yeah. lines, and it sounds horrible,
ridiculous.
Like it's like, and you know, like it sounds so different coming out of some punk kid than a grown man who had charisma. It's unfucking believable.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, this dude like stole a personality and stole a career.
He
and
stole
fucking
somebody's life.
And you know what's interesting?
Who's
too,
not
it,
here to
like,
claim it?
I was Patrice's watchdog. Like, let's be real. I worked with him and was with him for the whole, you know, 10 years. We were together a long time.
Nice.
And I would always be like, this person. And his stance on people stealing his material was, they need it more than I do. Right. I got more where that came from. You know, let them have it. They can only take the punchlines. They
yep.
they can't really go deep with it. It's
right.
whatever.
Right.
But he's not here anymore.
Right. Right.
So it's a whole different level of protection.
Right.
And if you're this particular person had the audacity to say that he was just honoring him.
Well why don't you mention him, motherfucker?
You can't cover comedy.
Right. I'm honored. It's like saying I wrote the Bible by me.
Right, like if
I'm honoring God right now. Do you mind?
Like the if Lord. You sing an Amy Winehouse song and you do a cover, we get it. It's music and it's a cover, but it's you can't cover comedy.
Yeah, and then before they play the song, they go, "This is Amy Winehouse."
Dude, even those Kiss, right? Like the fake Kiss bands have to be—they're like mini Kiss or named after like a song, you know?
Right.
Like
right,
this
right,
guy
right,
should yeah. have to have a name like that, like
like Pocket Patrice.
Yeah. You should have to take on a stage name of like Pocket Patrice.
Pocket Patrice.
Yeah, but
we'll
I mean, it just speaks to what you were saying. That was a great point. There is a generation of people on the come up. You know, time mm-hmm. moves very fast.
Definitely.
And they don't know, you know, his comedy and who he is. And
yeah, and he died so young. I mean, it's
yeah,
you know,
41.
Like, yeah.
You know, he certainly wasn't. Yeah.
Like, ah, fuck my life.
Oh. What? Now, how come he had the stroke? Do they, like, what the overall cause of it was? Like, was it just weight or something?
I
miss Patrice, man.
I always fucking suck.
That's a good question. And what you find out, or what you probably already know, is doctors have some answers, but not all. And you could blame anything on everything. He was the diabetic. He was overweight. But at the end of the day, I'm a very spiritual person. At the end of the day, it's, when it's time for you to go, it's time for you to go. Because there are people who had several heart attacks or struggle. Mm-hmm. He absolutely
he
knew.
I talked to him like for hours on the phone after he did that Charlie Sheen roast.
Yeah.
We talked on the phone for like
Charlie Sheen roast was
brilliant. The first time I actually, in 10 years, had to walk him through something. Like it was the weirdest thing. He was uncomfortable with the idea that they could edit him the wrong way.
Right. Yeah.
And he's like, I don't have time to, this could set me back. I don't have time to. And it was weird because at the time I just could not understand where he was coming from. And it's a weird spiritual thing, because it's like our souls may know something that our physical bodies and our physical minds will deny.
Right.
So he was the year of 2011 in hindsight. And sometimes in the present that we were living in, we made some serious life decisions based on the fact that he said he knew he was not going to be here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not going to say exactly what that is, but
there were some
things that, you know, was very clear that it was
time.
It was time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, that was the last time that I really got to hang out with him. Like, and I mean, he changed my entire outlook on like doing the roast and all that shit. Like, I like always wanted to be on it, and he fucking really like, he wouldn't talk to the writers when he came. He only would talk to me. He goes, I'll just talk to him, because he said, I don't want a smarmy white writer looking at my shit, because it was just in a notebook, right?
Yeah.
So I had to go work with him in the hotel room, which by the way was the best part. That ended up being the whole best part of the fucking roast, because that was a tense fucking job for me. Yeah. First of all the other writers are like way better than me as writers, and it was like, I just like, I don't know, it just was like an ugly like thing in there when I was there, man. And
he felt like it was a conspiracy to set him up. Like, he's like, they're trying to set me up. They're going to make me look bad.
I thought so too.
Listen, let me tell you something. It's a real territorial fucking thing. And a lot of writers are like desk cops, okay? And they don't like a field, you know, a guy in action. And so the head writer, I remember he was like kind of trying to tell, but like, they took offense at like, you're not going to look at our shit. They do write great jokes. So there's a territorial thing when like actors and shit, like the chick from Grey's Anatomy is like, well, she doesn't want to do that. And you're like, well, tell her to shut up and do it. Right. Not with Patrice. You don't do that, but they don't know. So the dude, he sounded like Stern, the head writer. And then Patrice talked to him. And I was like all nervous. Like, I'm going to get in trouble at my job.
You nerd.
Absolutely. And I put him on the phone. Yeah, he doesn't have any care for your fucking delicate that you barely can fake it. You're a good office pig like you're supposed to. I'm a feral pig. I know. I got to hide it. So fucking he put on the phone with the head writer. And he goes, well, he sounded real strong going into it. And then he just got quiet. I don't know what Patrice is saying to him, and he just, his neck is just bright red. Dude, it's so funny. And he goes, okay, well, what would you like to do? Well, we can send Kurt to the hotel. And,
yeah, because this dumb fucking ass licker, I think he can just say anything to anybody and they go fucking jump and do it.
That's what I'm like.
Well, you know, the thing too is he didn't want to do any roast. He had turned down roast. Like,
yeah,
he turned down the roast. And he was like, the only reason I'm doing this is because I really respect Charlie Sheen, and I can do this for me. I could look him in his face and say, I respect you for being anti-system.
Yeah, and you know what? He was right. Charlie Sheen did win.
Yes.
Yeah.
He said he was winning, and he won the whole time.
He won.
Absolutely. And Patrice loved that. And he's like, did. I'm not really going on here to tell jokes. I mean, I could really just do me.
That's why he was brilliant.
I have a mission here.
Dude, when he was doing
was
that.
Brilliant.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. So we're going to the set. So a couple of the things are lines they gave him, but he already had his ideas, like really, you know, like the gist of what all the jokes are going to be down. So really my main job is I had to get what his shit was into something they can put on a teleprompter, like translate it to Joel, the producer, right? Can you put this into Joel? So that's just there the whole night. And then fucking, we were in the trailer up to the last minute doing that. And then he was going on last. He didn't know he was going on last. And that's a shit spot to do.
That's a shit spot.
Like, don't, he told me, he was like, I told them, don't make me last. Don't make me laugh. He was like, they always set me do up. That.
Just like Hannibal was last in his last one. Niggas is always last in these
Yeah,
roasts.
You want to know why?
They always nigger last.
Hold on, let me tell you. And this is a fucking.
I know why, because no, they fucking don't give a fuck about us.
I inherited the curse because I always had to do the black spot at all the fucking clubs when I got here.
Yeah.
And what it is they think you can handle more bullshit than the weaker comics.
So if that's the point.
Oh, you could go last.
If that's the point, pay more, because that's closing.
Yeah. Good point.
Pay more.
I never get to drink.
Pay them more money.
I never get to taste the sweetest plum of the middle audience.
It's like you get the same money as the nigga who get the cushy second spot on a roast, and that, they didn't hear a whole bunch of jokes about one person all night, so you gotta go last on that shit. It's like, that's some racist shit.
Yeah. He also said, and you will probably know this better, you know, than me and tell the story better, but he said that it was so much stuff left on a cutting floor about diseases and so many things made fun of, and they were like, no, we can't say that, we can't say that. But it was like, as far as his diseases and diabetes and
they let it all ride.
They just, it was absolutely no filter. And he's like, oh, okay, we're going
to
say
they
that.
They allow those
that?
Other motherfuckers to try to eat off of Patrice.
Yeah.
I peeped the whole shit. Yep. We talked about it.
And Patrice
some
has the reputation.
Motherfuckers. Those writers, some sneaky motherfuckers. Man.
Patrice
Trust.
Has a reputation of being the asshole. But if you go back and look at that Charlie Sheen roast, he handled himself with
perfectly.
A lot. Class.
Well, listen, I'll tell you what happened. But listen, all the writers on it are fucking. I mean, they were killer fucking writers. Like Sebastiano is fucking awesome.
But they also circle the wagons when, like, a motherfucking one of the Face and Body Boys come in. And that's us who do stand-up.
It was mainly Patrice and the head writer. I wouldn't say it was all the writers.
Not all of them, but the head writer was birthed out of that shit, too. So he's running it. So he's keeping that shit going.
He wasn't in.
And you know what? This will be, like, this. When I do the documentary, my total mission is to tell the whole story, not just the fluffy story. Or Patrice will, if I want him to come back, actually, maybe I should tell the wrong story. Because he'll be like, look, bitch, no, you get the truth. I would love to have that head writer tell his side of what happened.
Yes.
That's the movie. The real that's what the Patrice movie story.
Yes.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. Yes. And it's not, you know, the Vaughn story and what makes Vaughn comfortable. Because there may be things in the story that I might cringe and I'm going to be standing right there like, but tell the story.
Well, I know the best part at the end when he finally did go on and he kind of like snapped and just went into full Patrice mode, which I was really happy
to see.
When
he said the William Shatner nigga, this nigga was brilliant when the way he did.
No, listen,
it's
that
like
was
William
off the
Shatner's
cuff.
A racist.
He, no, he
like,
said, but he said that he said that black girl vagina hair thing off the cuff. But then what he did, so all the stuff that we kind of put together, he did a lot of it, but he changed the order, and then he also just threw in shit we didn't finish and finished it right there, which I thought was really fucking cool. So while he's doing that, you know how upset people are when you're not on prompter and shit like that? Like, they want to know what you're going to fucking say.
Yeah, they want to be in charge of it. They want to be able to write it down and look at it.
Well, there's a reason, but he's a guy that could riff. I mean, he's a guy you should probably not do that. So the fucking prompter was going like this because the guy is fucking...
Going up
talking,
and down, up and down, up and down.
And then what do we do?
The
what do
boyfriend,
do?
He's a producer, the boyfriend of the Grey's Anatomy chick with the red hair.
Oh, yeah.
With the smoky voice that does car commercials.
Kate Walsh.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay, so her boyfriend is sitting behind me, and he goes... Man, that was so different and real. Like he had never in his life
even
like
witnessed that.
The
like he had never in his life witnessed that ever happen.
And that's the essence of Patrice. And then 10 years I was with him, I've never seen him write anything down.
That motherfucker's a genius.
There was no difference in Sherrod, you would know because you've been to our house plenty of times. There's no difference between Patrice on the radio, on TV, or on the sofa with three people. There was absolutely no difference.
It's the same shit.
He said, you know, I don't have jokes, I have soliloquies.
Yeah.
And that's the essence
of he did.
Him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of that shit we'd be talking about in the car on the way to the show, it was just some shit we got into. And then that was his set. When we got there, that was what the fuck he did.
Yeah. That
was fucking crazy.
His life, our life, so life was his set.
Yeah.
I don't know if he would know how to do knock knock who's there joke. Like that just wasn't him.
No.
And he wouldn't even enjoy doing that. So that was probably part of the uncomfortable side of doing the roast. Like, you want me to say this corny? I'm just,
right.
I can't.
And plus,
just,
a lot of people find like safety in that. Like a lot of artists, I still do know these head writers. And a lot of these artists find safety in knowing before. It's like sometimes you gotta throw the shit up, and see where it comes down.
Yeah.
That's where the real shit is. You can't control everything. Definitely not in humor.
Yeah, and Patrice
that's
was
when it's not funny no more.
He loved being funny. He loved being an actor. He loved film. He loved all the aspects of being an artist, but he loathed the business.
Oh, yes.
That's why.
Oh, yes.
That's why I worked with him so much because he didn't want to do all that crap.
Me either.
When his album, after he passed away, the Mr. P album and the unreleased album, the record label contacted me. It was like, what should we do? We have your notes that Patrice sent us. What are we going to do? Because Patrice recorded it and everything, but it just kind of was going to sit there until everything that I did on the album after he passed away was what I was doing anyway.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, Patrice did right. not, like, even with his Twitter account, if you saw him tweet, if you saw something funny on there, that was him. If you saw, I'm going to be at Caroline's or wherever, right. that was me.
Yeah, yeah.
He did not want to promote anything. yeah. He hated every aspect of the business. Yeah. And the Hollywood thing was very uncomfortable.
Well, you know, it's hysterical. Yeah. After the roast, like, because he hated those kids from Workaholics.
Yes. Oh.
So they had to interview
Jesus,
him.
Take the wheel. I was like, Patrice, please ease up.
Dude,
ease
they
up.
They on site infuriated him. So much.
Let me tell you something. Patrice was like, you nobodies. That was his point of view. He's like, you nobodies. You unfunny nobodies. How dare you try to interview me?
You know, if he was alive at this point, Vaughn, he's alive at this point and watching. If you just think the amount of shit that's big now,
yes,
in terms of like where this, what sense of humor is, where it's like this, like,
oh, he would trash it.
He would fucking, certainly something would pop in his head now.
Yeah, he would kill
if
himself.
If he had to watch.
He would kill himself.
The
right
horse shit that people, like, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like, here's an example how bad it is, because I use her as an example. We came to a barbecue. The first time I brought Karen over to barbecue.
This was years ago, right, by the way, like 6 or 7 years ago.
Right. Yeah, it was like 7 years ago. And she had like some little, you know,
I have some footage. You guys might be in some of those.
Yeah, well,
oh,
she
house,
has
videos.
Yeah. Well, so she dressed like a typical NYU whore. They don't dress the same. Whatever, it's nothing unusual.
I'm 22.
I remember that.
But so she was sitting, I don't know if
you
were sitting on my lap or something.
22, my goodness.
And you, was I with you? He goes,
no, I walked up to him because you guys had this amazing spread and like tons of food.
The long table is a long table of food.
It was like hotel pans of food.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing. It was a beautiful house and I was happy to be there and I wanted to go up to him and tell him.
Let her shut up, Sherrod. You're so rude. The lady is speaking.
My bad. I thought this was my podcast. Go ahead.
She's talking. Well, Kurt, you tell it then.
No, Karen. I'm just joking.
No, but the whole reason I walked up to him was to say thank you for inviting me and this is such a beautiful house. Go on, Kurt. You can finish your story.
No.
don't worry about
so
it.
He goes,
you
so
let's
he goes,
hear your and, perspective and he, first.
Okay, well, I was wearing a shirt that I asked the sales lady if
what's
it could
it
be
sensible?
Worn as a dress. And
what's
she goes, no. And I did anyway. So I was wearing that dress with like probably very contrasting underwear, just like stupid shit. And I go up and he looks me up and down and he said like, you, like, why'd you come to my house dressed like a whore or something? Like,
you should let me tell it.
He goes, go ahead.
He said, you know, it's very inappropriate what you have on in the way of Patrice saying that, which is like very like,
which meant like,
The old man at the mall joke. There was a joke about the old man at the mall, like, it's very inappropriate what you have on. That old man watching you eat ice cream way of saying it.
Yeah. Well,
that's exactly what it was.
She got, like,
I was crushed, my little 22-year-old heart. Yeah, I was sad. I was a kid and we were like, right before
that
I could
just
even,
meant he liked you.
I could just, before I opened my mouth, it was like I got smacked down. And it's so funny in hindsight. And I had it coming and I was a dumb kid. But at the time I was like, you know, that's very destroying.
Well, how was I dressed is the question.
Yeah, but also you're going to wear whatever the fuck you want.
Patrice is going to be upset with you for not doing whatever the fuck you want.
When I would go on Opie and Jimmy, and I'm always dressed how Vaughn dresses.
Yes.
And Jim Norton said it best. He's like, that's why Patrice like Vaughn. That's what she does. That's he never asked her to not be her.
Right.
Well, so later,
yeah,
when Elephant in the Room came out, okay, and she watched that, we watched probably like three times because she wanted to watch it three times. She was so blown away by it. And then later, because me and her do a thing where we take the hour challenge on Netflix to see whose comedy hour we can get through more than 5 minutes. Hour challenge, you know? Yeah. So I won't say the name, but
first one who taps out is the loser.
I won't say who it is, but we're watching their hour, and she starts crying. In the middle of this dude's hour, and I go, what's the matter? She goes, because Patrice is dead, and this is on. It was so awful. It hit home that Patrice was dead.
It was so unfair. Yeah.
So unfair.
Yeah, but you know what? That makes a lot of sense.
All life's not fair.
Yeah, life I miss the cookouts too. And you know, he made all that food. We were prepped for like a week. We would have all the liquor in the world. Neither one of us drink all the food in the world. Yeah. There was in the last 3 years, we were vegan. But no one really knew because you would come to our house for Thanksgiving and all that food. It was for y'all. But we were vegan. Know.
He really stuck. He really got passionate about these fucking like some new thing. Like I remember the things he was like. Well, he got over that, right?
Being over
vegan?
What?
Being vegan?
Later? We were vegan from October 2008 yeah. until January of 2011.
Yeah, like,
so like just shy of 3 years.
I think Wayne said this, but did sum up like he would get really passionate about something until it disappointed him.
Oh, absolutely. And then move. If he was in, like, it passed off to the people around you. Like,
between.
I said one time that I wanted some cowboy boots. He came home with like 8 pair of these.
That's
cowboy.
How he is.
He is always obsessive like that. Yes. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. I got an argument with him about something with like evolution or something. We got this big argument. Well, that's the funny part. And he kind of like smashed me. So I went back and look, I knew I was right about, you know what I mean? Like, and I came back at him with it later. I remember he's like, what? Like,
yeah.
I'd be like researching.
Get over it.
He forgot the whole goddamn thing.
Kurt, that's the story of your life. Do you know that?
Yeah.
But you know what? He'll plateau with something, but it'll plateau and stop for a reason. Like with the vegan thing, he came to an understanding that it was healthy in one way and unhealthy in other ways. Mm-hmm. Like to make the organic sugar, like all these different, he did all the cooking, so I can't really explain it that well. But the gist of it is that he came to a place where he goes, okay, well now we know how to be healthy with this. Let's add some things back in and keep the healthy habits.
Right.
And that's what we did.
Balance.
Yeah. I still have a lot of vegan habits, but I'm not technically vegan anymore.
Well, I'm sure it's fine, but people act like their little thing's the fucking answer to everything.
Right.
Is it your whole life? Think of a thing in your life going wrong. That was what gluten and meat.
Mm. Right. And then at the end of the day, you know, there are people who completely abuse their bodies and they've been on drugs since drugs came out. And they eat like crap and they live to be 90.
Yeah, they're called white people and I'm going to miss you both. Hey, I'm going to miss all of you.
Hey, I'm half white, okay? So I'm going to live for
I'm going to half miss you.
I'm going to kill Kurt way before God takes him.
Oh, the violence.
Let me tell you what's going
to
happen.
Back to Baltimore.
He's going to try to kill me. We're going to end up on a rooftop and then Sherrod's going to collapse like the end of Blade Runner.
And fall.
On one knee holding a dove.
Oh, God.
The fate of all strong black men.
You're an idiot.
I still get most of the tweets and emails and everything that I get from people are like, what would Patrice say about this? What would Patrice say about that? What would Patrice say? Like, people want to know what Patrice say
about
Baltimore.
Well,
luckily,
we got
now.
Pocket
everything.
Patrice to repeat what he said.
Pocket Patrice.
That kid's like David Miscavige.
I'll kill that kid if I meet him. Listen, I was talking to Opie, too. He was telling me that Patrice was ready to, like, do his own radio show and, like, get off the road some before he passed.
Oh, yeah, the night he had the stroke, the one of the last conversations I had besides, you know, hey, I'm having a stroke, come hurry up and all that stuff. Earlier in that day when everything was fine, we had made plans for me to help him organize all his cameras and equipment, all these different things he had. He was trying to figure out where he could fit this in his life, on his desk. He wanted me to help him try to figure out, like, where would this fit into a schedule? Like, how would I do this?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he was trying to position himself, honestly, to tap out, as he say, of the game and make himself more of a producer where he could give other people that he believed in opportunities. Like, when we did the Patrice O'Neill Show Coming Soon web series, which was, like, way ahead of his time, that was he said that was his favorite thing to do because he had the opportunity to be fully creative and he put the people on that he wanted to put on that he thought was talented and directed them. And even, like, with Elephant in the Room, he gave me the opportunity to – that's my music on there. I wrote the music for Elephant in the Room. I wrote and produced that music.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, he gave me that opportunity, but he's a perfectionist. I didn't just get it. I wrote six songs before he said yes. And he was like, look, maybe I should just ask them to, like, purchase Dropbox or something. I was like, no, what were they? And then finally he was like, that's it. But, yeah, he was trying to position himself to get in a better position to go more behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I don't know. He had a lot of things in his head.
We all missed out on what would have been.
Yeah, well, Wayne told me he wouldn't ask me because he didn't want to, like, he didn't have money to pay for it or some shit like you want to like it was like an insult or something because what? I wrote professionally. So I'm like, I wish he fucking asked me to do that shit with him, dude. I didn't give a fuck. I would have just done that for no money.
Of course.
But he has a lot of respect for artists and writers. And despite, you know, the early conversation of it, he really does. He even when we were doing the web series, we weren't getting paid for that. And he was telling that the production company that was doing it, he was like, look, don't pay me, but come up with something for all of them, Harris and Vaughn and Will and everyone that's here, come up with something for them because it costs money to get to the city. They're putting in work. Let's figure out something for them. Did
Harris Stanton get paid with a lifetime supply of Thanksgiving leftovers?
Actually, Harris is a great example because Patrice used him as an example. Was like, look at his T-shirt. Can we at least buy him some T-shirts? This is ridiculous.
That's a South Carolina in Harris. He's just country. Yeah. That Bama don't know a good T-shirt.
He is. The country is.
In Bama.
They pick up big hay bales and shit.
But you know what? Harris is a pretty good actor.
Oh, yeah. Harris is
great. Oh, my
Harris
God.
Is good. He's a really good comic, too.
He's a really good comic, too. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Harris is great.
Oh, Patrice loved Harris opening for him. And even with Elephant in a Room, he was fighting for Harris. He's like, I don't want him just warming up the audience. Right. Yeah. I want him to do
Well, you know what?
Set.
Harris is like not pushy to a fault. And like he should be a little pushier because he's good. Like
he's really good. I just saw him like 2 days ago. I was like, nigga, well, he said he can talk later because they had this whole lawsuit and everything going on so nobody can talk. Until like a month, he can't perform for a month. But yeah, Harris is funny as shit.
Well,
and hey, you got to give up on those baseball dreams. That shit is gone. I mean, he wanted to be a baseball player.
I know.
He was a South Carolina baseball
He's
player.
Still
you
on
can't it. Get more country than that.
Yeah.
You can't get more country than being talented enough to be a baseball player and making a bad decision.
Collard greens ain't more country than playing baseball in South Carolina.
Yeah. That's a fact.
And to decide to not do professional baseball to do comedy.
Yeah.
Oh, there's definitely
he had to hurt himself.
He hurt his knee.
Salary discrepancy there.
He had a Tommy John surgery assigned on his penis. They Tommy John his penis.
That's a fancy way of saying he quit.
It's his rotator cuff.
Athletes get hurt all the time.
Oh, that's true. But nigga, if you
not that I would know.
Yeah, he. I think he really like twisted his ankle up or some shit. Yeah, like when it rains now, it like rings of. Hums or some shit. I'm not Trapper John MD, nigga. I'm just telling you what happened to the
So you're going to put it in his act and make a ventriloquist doll out of it?
Maybe. That lawsuit, I guess they went all like Artie and everybody can start talking in less than a month or something.
Oh, Artie and Tracy Morgan when it got hit by the Walmart.
Because Harris was in the truck, in the car with them.
Harris
that
was
there? Scary.
Yes, and Harris walked away. He's the only one who walked away.
You know, he had a watch from Patrice and Harris called me like, Vaughn, I couldn't find the watch. He's like freaked out about the watch.
What did he have it on that night?
I believe so.
Oh. Yeah,
when I talked to him, I wasn't too clear because it was still kind of early. Oh. And you know, Harris is weird anyway.
Yeah.
But he was like, Vaughn, I was like, where's my watch? Where's my watch? Like, he's very, I don't think any of us are quite over Patrice being gone.
No, not at all. Not even close.
I don't, you know, that was my everyday life.
And, yeah.
But I do understand people who even have never even met Patrice, how they could be so attached to him and what he did for them mentally and emotionally and all of that. Sometimes I'm like, oh, you miss him, really? Everybody tweeting me while I'm in a bed by myself? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, then I pull back and go, I understand. Yeah.
Well, explain it to Karen, who yells at me constantly for that.
For what?
For going on my social medias.
Oh, well, I mean, we'll, like, be hanging
my
out.
My many medias.
I know, but, you know, do it on media time.
What exactly is media time?
Yeah.
It's time when I'm working or sleeping.
Welcome back to media time.
Okay, you might want to let her pick up my book. It's called Speak Fluent, Man.
Yeah.
No, she only speaks some Hebrew.
I don't know. I've been there in, like, where you're having a conversation with someone who has ADD and like every 30 seconds they disconnect and you have to repeat yourself and it's like logistic shit for the two of you where like you... But like, nah, I get it. I don't. There are moments where it's like,
you just give me as long as I'm not giving you head or anything sexual. You can tweet all day.
You lost me in not giving me head. I just blacked out. I was like, what?
Well, you know what, dude?
Where am I?
I'll tell you what's funny. Like, Patrice.
Probably because I have ADD, and I'm like, you ain't gonna stop me from tweeting. Damn it, these are my
real friends. Don't be mad if you don't know where you're supposed to be in an hour. Like,
I don't have real friends. I need my Twitter people. Go fuck yourself.
I like my Twitter army. They support me.
Yeah, they love
me. Yeah, and they're not at all tired of that phrase.
No.
I'll pass out if I don't get the right amount of likes on my Instagram.
You got writing room energy, nigga, and I'm going to beat it out of you.
If the same people aren't liking my pictures on Instagram, I'm like, listen, what, you don't like me anymore?
I'll tell you the main thing.
You need those likes to get you through.
Dude, the main thing with that is Patrice probably the only dude who, or not the only, but one of the very few people that I met who like were always honest. And so it was like you got to see the effects of that. In case you ever wondered, what would it be like if I didn't lie?
Yeah.
What if I just never lied?
It's like not
what
like
would
Jim
that be like?
It's not the Jim Carrey movie.
He will not let you get away with it.
It was like, who the fuck is going to be like that?
He was a real life liar. Yeah. Like,
yeah, but like who in the hell would fucking just be honest all the time? That's it. You can't
do
that.
Only a psychopath.
He absolutely kept a mirror in front of my face on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. There's absolutely no way.
He loved deconstructing a motherfucker.
He
was the best at it.
And he would say there's nothing wrong with washing a brain if it's dirty. Yeah. So I agree with that. I agree with that. The truth shall set you free.
Well, you know why? This is what people
really
get. He would listen to you. If you were, if somebody was mad at him, because my ex before I was with her got outraged at him at a show, and she was like going to give him a good fucking talking to. I love that man. I wish I could bring everyone I ever dated to Patrice.
Yes. And I did.
So
I have.
He fucking.
He okayed Marissa.
But because in her mind, she painted him up into something because she didn't like. Whatever she didn't like, she wasn't going to identify that up front. It's going to be a whole fucking front to some other shit. And she wasn't aware that he will sit and listen. He's sitting there listening to every single thing you're saying, which a lot of people don't do. So then he just fucking turned her whole argument on her and then like. I mean, charmed her. Like, she would go to sleep in a doggy bed and curl up.
Yeah.
It was fucking crazy.
A thousand times.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. I've never seen such a fucking...
And to absolute strangers. To absolute strangers.
Yeah,
he could have
started a cult. Yeah. You should start a cult.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We would be in the mall, and he would be purchasing something, and there was this cashier... bad attitude, and he said, don't put your anger on my clothes. That was
so
his
right.
opening. And I looked, I said to myself, this is going to be a while.
Yeah.
Long story short,
he took
by the time he was done with this cashier,
she loved him.
She took a break, followed us out into the, she didn't know who he was. It followed us out into the mall. And we were sitting on the bench, and he fixed her whole life while I was sitting there like.
The motherfucker was a bad man.
Oh, dude.
He was a bad man.
At Mohegan?
That was an everyday thing.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you can only do like two things in a day. And that's all you can do. And that's just what life is.
Wait, so listen.
Yeah, okay.
When we went to Mohegan Sun, we were an hour late. And I think I'd worked there before, and I was nervous because I know how that show works where they get all frantic. All
right.
And he knows I'm nervous about this, of getting this show late. So he keeps stopping, like, maybe I should go to that big and tall place and check out some suits. And I'm like, what? Like, you don't want to be there? And he goes, yeah, no, you're probably right. And he drove, and we pulled up this car wash. He goes, I think we need my car Simonized.
So we get
in the fucking casino. And there's a security guard by the elevator. He goes, hey, man, where we go to eat? And he goes, well, there's a variety of options in the food court. And he goes, no, man, where? And he took his hand like this.
Right in his face.
And this part's like clapping, the bottom part. He goes, no, you know, where you go
where
eat?
Where do you go to eat? Don't recommend me. That's so him.
Did we get in
I wasn't
the
there, but I just could see it.
So we get in
I
the
wasn't
fucking.
There. I just can feel
it. The first time he made that
so
session.
So then we get in the elevator, and it's these 3 old white people behind us. And he goes, oh, and he stretches out against the door and then farts as hard as he can. Okay? So we do the shows.
Oh, my God, he's so great.
And fucking, so then I'm broken up with Delfino now. It's like one of these breakups I had with Jessica Delfino, okay? Who he was always like, why are you with, what's wrong with you? And fucking, and I was like, gonna call her or something? And he's like, you're gonna call her right now. And fucking something, something. And he goes, no, man, just fuck this fat girl. So he points to just some random girl that works there. He goes, you should fuck this fat girl, man, and for your soul. Instead of, I don't know his exact words, but that was the gist of it, right?
Right.
I'm like, no, I don't know. I don't want to. He goes, no, it's cool. And he starts talking. He goes, listen, Courtney, somebody that fucking just broke up. He fucking just brings me and her. I hate, by the way, being brought into a thing like that. Right. what do you think? You think he's cute, right? Back to the fucking
you
this
understand
hand.
The position he's in.
He's got beautiful eyes.
I can see this whole thing.
Oh,
unfolding.
Man. That's so good.
And I'm sitting there. This chick was absolutely charmed by that.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. We had a couple threesomes, me and Patrice up in my apartment on 75th Street.
I
let
know.
Him do all the heavy lifting, nigga.
You know what?
I let him do all the heavy lifting in our threesomes, too.
You guys, you were both very gentle, and I always appreciated that.
Yes, yes. You were a very delicious third.
so
I'm not gonna lie, that's
so then I called Delphina to come up.
Yeah.
And he was, like, disgusted with me. He's like, don't come to me when she tramples your heart, like some shit. And so fucking, she's sleeping over there, right? So I end up banging her instead. And then late 3 a.m., I get a call from that girl who goes, you want me to bring up something to eat? And I was like, no, I can't.
Oh,
so I hang up, and then Jessica's like, who is that? Why is someone called? Like,
oh, God.
I never should have called her. I should have just fucked that fat girl. He's right.
Yes, he was right. Why did I have the headache?
100%.
And he really did enjoy making people uncomfortable with their own shit. Like my daughter, who will be in a film too, talking from her perspective of him as a dad, she has a story that I absolutely love, and I'll probably not tell it as good as her, but one time they were in a grocery store. I wasn't there. And she said that there was this lady, a white lady, and she just, you know, Patrice is a big guy, and they were in a spice section.
Right.
And Patrice moves slow. He's a thinker. He's like, yeah, I want this, I want that. And he could feel this lady's beam at him like hurry up, move out the way, and he looked over at the lady, and my daughter said that he took the entire spice rack and put it
in the
car. And I said, and he was like, she didn't get anything, mommy. And I was like, what? He bought all the spices, all of them. And he's like, you all right now? Now what? He's like, you have got to be kidding me.
Oh, my God.
And if that makes you, wait until you hear my daughter tell the story. Because she was there, I wasn't there. Wait until you hear her tell the story.
That is ludicrous.
I'm like, are you
kidding me? I love it. Good.
There was this one time too. I talk about this in the book too, because he really taught me how to, you know, look at my own shit. Like he would do me the same way he did that stranger. This one time we were coming from eating, and I was like raw emotion. My period was probably coming or something.
Ragging. She was ragging.
I was ragging. I was blacking out.
Mess under the dress.
He was driving, and these two ladies were like, it was in like a mall area, and they were just strolling slow, like they weren't gonna move. So I'm getting aggravated. He's just chilling, looking at me like, well, that's what y'all bitches do, entitled motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, beep at him or something. And he had all his patience. So finally they moved out the way. And I'm embarrassed to tell this story, but it's true. I threw my pasta out the window.
What?
I'm refined ghetto. Like, this is early in our relationship when I wasn't so refined.
Yeah.
You were wayward. Guess what he did?
What did he do? He apologized?
He stopped the car and rolled down the windows and locked it so I couldn't roll it up. And here come these two big-ass ladies coming towards me. And I'm looking at him like,
that is
like, what side are you on?
That is the immediate. Wait. Okay. That's the immediate female response.
Of course.
And that's the lesson I learned.
Mm-hmm.
They got to the window, and I'm like, my bad. I'm so sorry. I apologize. I didn't mean to do it. You know, I blacked out. They were. Bah, 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 bah. I apologize. They kept moving. Patrice rolled up the window, and he looked at me and said, don't you ever do no classless shit like that again.
Thank you.
And let me tell you something. If the police came because you got into a scuffle with these two ladies, who goes to jail?
Yeah.
I got to get out and help you.
Yeah.
Who goes to jail?
Mm-hmm.
Me. And he was like, I will always protect you. If somebody is messing with you, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you start some shit because you goofy,
yep.
You on your own.
Exactly.
Now you make a choice and don't ever do no shit like that again. I was like... yes.
Then the credits just rolled. They rolled the credits.
Well, you know why? He was a fucking kind of refined dude. See, I used to, because we said this before about when you were talking about he's like how he dresses, like he's trying to be the.
I call him, I used to have talks with him about his throwback jerseys. I'm like, nigga, stop trying to be the dude you wasn't in high school.
So this is the thing. This is a
I like that look, though.
No.
I didn't like the suit look.
I like the suit. Just getting rid of all those rings and all those throwbacks. He had every color throwback. I was like, nigga.
Well, put the whole suit on, though. Well, listen.
He became refined. and ghetto too. But yeah, he no, thank you. But he was that's the feminine entitlement that he kind of worked me. That he washed that right out of me.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Listen, you know what he did.
He made you confront it. He made you confront it.
That's like I don't know if it's genius, the second or third chapter, Vaughn. But that's the chapter on entitlement. It's
he
all
took
in
my
there.
College entitlement out of me too.
Well, listen, you know what?
I was college entitled.
This is something she describes.
I'm glad that he said that shit to me at that barbecue because it like snapped me out of my cutesy, precious thing. Well, it really did. I took it to heart.
Yeah, listen, there's a thing that you said. He talked to women like how, Kurt's like as equals.
Right.
Yep.
Which some women don't like that.
Women don't like that.
And women also get trained
but
to not
like that. At the same time, we fight for equality.
Right.
But we don't want real equality.
It's horseshit.
That's the lie.
Yes.
Thank you. My anger at that
when I was 22 was just
she's about to pass out. Like, wait a minute.
Depends. Wait. They've been working on me, and I see that. But like in that situation, I mean, like part of it's like you're absolutely right. Like what you did was wrong.
Yeah,
and,
it's like, the entitlement of I'm with someone that's going to protect me.
On the other hand, he's not your dad. You know? And so, and that felt like a real dad move of like, you're going to suffer
no,
the consequences
he is
of your
daddy.
Behavior.
Well, any man is daddy if they're teaching you something that daddy never taught you. If I already knew better, I would have done better.
Sure,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Listen,
no, I mean, I don't disagree.
Wait, Caitlin, he's daddy because it's his fucking car. That's the whole thing. Right. Like, you're not in my car with me on the street. Go enjoy your life and throw in whatever.
Go throw whatever
that
you want.
That was our Sade point.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care if you attack this dude wherever you want. It's
just
in my house.
It came full circle. We were driving in the, you know, it was like Midtown, and you know how all the traffic of people is just tons of people, and he was just a little bit into the walkway, and this drunk girl and her sort of drunk boyfriend, she started wailing at Patrice. She came over to the car, she's yelling, and I'm sitting there, this was like long after my incident, and I could see, I was like, she's only doing that because her boyfriend is here.
Right.
She's
of course.
And Patrice dismissed her, and he was like, hey man, your girl's gonna get you killed. And he was looking at me, he was like, check this out. Your girl's gonna get you killed. And they come over to the car, and Patrice was like, you know, about to talk him through it. And dude goes, I know, man. I love you, Patrice. And he knew who he was. And
he
was like, that's nice, man. But if you know who I am, teach her something.
Yes.
And that's
pay it forward to your
bitch. You know what though? I never heard.
You know what's wrong.
I mean, you were around him a lot, so you must have heard.
I got contact.
What did I don't think I ever saw Patrice like angry.
No.
Like angry in the way of like yelling at someone.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever saw. Like if he was angry, I maybe saw him talk like maybe in a serious tone.
I saw him make people angry.
But I've never seen him.
And loved it. He loved it.
I
think it's
because
he had a capacity of understanding and empathy for people.
Yeah,
he knew
that's
you
why.
Didn't
that's
know
the
better.
Magic secret.
He
and
had
it's
a
an
lot
arrogant
of
thing to say, like, I that
he's like a
no,
better
sure,
than you.
That's the title of
I
the
mean,
film.
I feel like
is
we all
than
acknowledge
you.
That
Patrice is operating at like a different.
Yes.
I mean, like that makes sense. Like I see that, but I like
he was super
I feel like
ego that won't let you let it go, and that's why I was able to learn so much because I let my ego aside.
You can't help but really respect somebody who compulsively told the truth in a way that like how an addict sacrifices something. Like he's made sacrifices for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
something
that almost no one is willing to do. Like he was an outlier. That's like part of the genius of him.
Yes.
Right. And I can't. I'm the testimony of how that it works.
Mm-hmm.
If you let go of whatever ego it is that stops you, that makes you go, wait a minute, don't you? You will grow. And he took me from such a undeveloped level to such a high understanding of just being knowing that you're a woman and you're always going to think emotionally. But just to learn how to think logically above your emotions is one of the best things that ever happened.
I used
to
love
when
I used to talk to my girlfriend. I talk to her for hours, nigga. Just talk to her.
Listen, I'll tell you what.
Get it in. Get that shit in her brain.
Yo, here's what's funny now, especially I'm gone. There's a bunch of men that think emotionally like women.
Yes.
Like they're building dudes into that now.
That's how overwhelming it is.
You react like a me and her. Fuck
people.
Listen, hold on. Me and her fuck people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So so far, all the women that I've done stuff with get it, no problems, right?
Including female friends of mine and me included.
Yeah,
right.
No big
women
deal.
Women are more
right.
Flexible.
The
dudes act like
the
they bitches. Yeah. One guy was texting her, just hey, that's like that kind of shit.
The guys get so emotionally attached.
Why does he have your number?
Well,
you had to hook it up at the beginning.
But you see why that's always been true.
But Patrice's line was always,
this is not a new development.
Me and my girl
are
single.
Are not necessarily sexually emotional.
We are not sexually jealous in the same way.
If a girl wanted to hook up with us, he would they would exchange numbers, but it would really be my number. Mm-hmm. And he was like, talk to this bitch.
Because we're always going to know it's our baby.
So yeah, all bitches ain't like that.
But we grew to, you know, everybody has their own little
system. Was that your system for it? That's a good system.
Grew into that system.
But let me ask you something, because you know what happened to me on a couple occasions? I had somebody approach me like down, and me not doing anything. And I was like, let me tell my girl. And they were like, oh, like they got like repulsed. That it was cool with her.
People are turned off by this kind of like honest thing where it's just in the open.
Well, yeah,
these were Brooklyn hipster
girls. It's weird to them.
So.
Yeah, right. Secret is like hot. I mean, like we all can get on. Like things that are forbidden are hot. That's not.
But
see,
these are the people that will be in relationships in a lie and miserable.
Yeah.
And when people used to after a show, people would pat me on the shoulder like, "Oh my God, how could you be in a relationship with misogynist?" But I'm like, I'm looking at this woman say this to me with her husband. They both look miserable. I'm like,
yeah,
we're here.
Here's what I hate about that. I hate the like judgment from outside the relationship. Like, and it's a little bit like give women in whatever situation they're in the agency of having put themselves in that position. Like right. If I say I want to stay in this relationship, you from outside the relationship do not get to tell me how I feel. That's not feminism.
But
not
you know
telling
Patrice's
other women
thing,
how to feel about shit.
Patrice's thing of treating women the same way you treated everyone and directing that honesty at them also is the ultimate feminism. Actually,
yes.
That's
exactly.
The whole irony
that's
of
what
it.
I, that's
exactly.
What I live by.
That's the most feminist thing you
that
can do.
You're preaching my mission.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. I defend that part to a zillion degrees.
Right.
That's exactly the essence
that's
of
that. That's how I am. So when I'm like moving a mattress or something, I'm like, bitch, get the end of this mattress. Well, you want equality, don't you?
Right.
You
well,
know
lift
what?
With your legs, bitch. That's
like you know what? It wasn't exactly that. It wasn't exactly that.
We all sleep on this mattress, you fucking whore. Get your side, you fucking cunt.
It was more of the natural order of things. It was like you have to develop a system within the person that you're with. And the only way you could do that is to be honest.
Yeah.
Like women lie to get relationships the way men lie to get pussy.
Yeah.
You can't lie. You can't do the Gone Girl thing. If you don't like basketball, if you don't like or football, I like basketball, so that's always my default. But let's say football Sunday, you're a woman that goes, "Oh, I love football," but really you don't. You're just trying to be cool.
Right.
And now every Sunday you're cooking for him and his friends,
and
everything is great.
That, and
now you guys are in a relationship. Now all of a sudden you're married, you live together, and football Sunday is stupid, and you don't want to do that anymore. You're a liar, and you deserve whatever you get.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you're wrong. Not him.
So you read my email.
Yes. And right. I like
so
basketball.
Listen, Vaughn, we're almost at the hour. So what I want to do is.
Oh my God, I'm sorry.
Yeah, send me.
This
no,
is
this
great.
Is great that
this
you can't. I'm so. I had no idea it was that much close to the wire. I thought this was like further in ahead. Mm-hmm. So make sure, like, text us all the thing to tweet.
I don't have.
We'll give you all that after that. And then what's the name? Tell everybody listening because we'll throw this right up and we'll make this the title.
Yeah.
So what is it? It's
Better Than You.
Yeah, Patrice.
The Patrice O'Neill documentary. The film is called Better Than You.
Yeah.
And I'm at Von DiCarlo on Twitter, and his Twitter is at Big Mama Prods, and I'm going to post it there as well. PatriceO'Neill.com. Yeah. If you go there, the link is right there. We're trying to make it as easy as possible.
Donate, no matter what it is—a dollar, a nickel, $500,
and again,
no
that's going to give us a head count, not just the money.
Yes.
You know, don't think that the smaller amounts don't count. They really
do,
and the perks are amazing. You are definitely getting something out of it. You're not just like giving us something for free.
So
all right.
I'll
text Amy. I'll bet Amy will do it in a heartbeat. She'll fucking tweet that.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, it's just sweet. Yeah, that would be great. Thank you. Thank you. Yay. I have fun. And I swear I got contact because I'm hyped.
No.
What is going on?
That was just tobacco.
It's legal tobacco products.
It's tobacco.
Okay. Well,
it says on the label this is a legal tobacco item.
Well, the tobacco thing is.
Drum
you know what? It's
wait,
this,
that's also
it's
illegal.
It's this energy drink. I'm an asshole.
Is. That's what it is. It's
yeah.
It's the energy drink.
That's the real drug.
Okay. So, guys, it's down the wire. If you're listening to this, it means it's like a day left.
A day left.
So if you would like to see a Patrice O'Neill documentary, which you should, send something. Holy shit.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. Race Wars. Thank you, Vaughn.
Thank you. I had a great time.
We love you.
Thank you.
All right. Peace.